Well, good morning.
I'd like to start this way. The burden for this conference definitely came from the Lord. And it was helped along by, I think, a young sister at the Labor Day conference who mentioned something to the fact that she hadn't heard this or she hadn't been taught this previously in the Summer School of Truth. Well, I think one reason I think we mentioned because we were covering the two spirits, so it wasn't too much related. But I think we were convicted and compelled and following the Lord. I think at that point it was really determined in our hearts to, you know, cover this topic. If you're at the Labor Day conference, this topic actually isn't the same. It's progressing. Anybody know the general subject of the conference this weekend?
I think it's the rapture, tribulation, and the cells and the heavenly period.
Somewhat close. It's right here. Everyone, turn in front of your book and let's read it together. What's it say? Eric?
Lord.
Amen. So, the Labor Day Conference is on the Lord's coming. This weekend, we want to emphasize the preparing for the Lord's coming. And there's lots of aspects involved in preparing for the Lord's coming. Maybe I'll just give you a little definition of preparing. May help. Actually, it's good when you're listening, not just to listen, but sometimes take little notes. Little notes. To prepare is to make ready beforehand. I like that. Make ready beforehand. It's not getting ready after the fact. It's beforehand. This morning, I didn't want to wake the brothers up in my room. So last night I prepared beforehand where all my stuff was going to be, where my towel was, where my, you know, soap, shampoo, all that stuff. I kind of set it in place. So in the dark, I just reached my hand down. I can grab it. I knew where it was. I grabbed my towel without having to turn on any lights. So I prepared the night before. So I was ready. So I knew where everything was in the morning. I didn't have to fumble through anything. I knew where it was. So preparing is to make ready beforehand. It's also for some purpose, a particular end, right? There was a goal in my preparing last night. I didn't want to wake up the brothers. I didn't want to flick on the lights. I wanted to know where everything was. I can get it and just run out the door right to the shower, right, without waking up. So with a particular goal, particular end purpose, and it's really also to set an order or readiness. And with us, we need to be those preparing for the Lord's coming. I'm going to read something from the ministry, which you may or may not have heard this before. It says, God purposely uses young people to turn the age. Did you ever hear that before? God purposely uses young people to turn the age. Okay, but there's a qualifying factor here. Just being young isn't the qualifying factor. Just because you're a young person doesn't mean you're qualified. It's a good start, but it doesn't mean qualified. So we're going to see an example with Daniel. His whole life, okay? Actually, another illustration. I know a young person's sister, who just got her license 36 hours ago, right? And she told me about it, you know, and I knew. And I told her, it's like, now you are minimally qualified to drive in the state of Maryland. Because when you pass that test, that is the minimum requirement that you need to pass to go. And actually, it was quite interesting. It was 36 hours ago. You know how long I've been driving? 36 years. Okay, so when the storm's out there on the way with the thunderstorm driving, who would you like to have me to hand the keys to? The young person or me? Who would you want driving that vehicle? Okay, when did I start driving? The same year that she did, too. She was 16. She is 16. I was 16. Okay, this shows that being young isn't the qualifying factor. We need to progress. We need to continue, you see. And so for the Lord's coming and the Lord, you know, preparing, I'm not ceding anything to just young people. I'm continuing myself. Because in the same way, I was born again, saved when I was in eighth grade. We continue. We just don't have, you know, a bunch of young people inexperienced. It's a progression. So the Lord uses young people. Okay. I think Samuel in the Old Testament was a rare exception of being young and very young being used. Daniel, I'm going to show you something you may not have seen. But think of all the brothers throughout all the years, even among us. Like Brother Lee, he was saved at an early age. But how useful was he at an early age? He was most useful towards the end of his life. If you remember Brother Benson Phillips, at a young age in college, very good, very useful. But he became even more useful at the end, you see. So I like to liken this to the driver's test. We're minimally qualified, but we need experience year after year, gain of the Lord to become useful for him, you see. If you think about every older person, they were saved and called at a young age, but they didn't stay young. They grew and developed in the Lord. Okay, so my first question to you, how old was Daniel when he experienced being thrown into the lion's den? How old was Daniel? Any guess? No. He was actually 83. Think about this. Most of you know the book of Daniel from chapter 1 only. Right? Where he set his heart not to defile himself. But did the book of Daniel end in chapter 1? Who was king at the time when Daniel got thrown in?
Nebuchadnezzar.
No. Darius, right? Darius the Mede. That was after the Babylonian Empire. That was at least 67 years after they've been in captivity, right? For 67 years. So when he was thrown into the lion's den, he was 83? Yeah, 83. 83 years old. He wasn't a junior higher, right? He wasn't in high school. So how did he get there? Actually, year after year. Let me show you a couple other things. In chapter 1, he was approximately 15 years old when they were brought into captivity. 15. And then by the time he was 18, he saw the vision of the image in chapter 2. In chapter 2, he saw the image. So he's 18 at that point. By the time he's 35, there's the vision of, in chapter 3, the golden image with Nebuchadnezzar. But he was 35 at that time. And then actually Nebuchadnezzar had also the, do you remember when he went crazy? He was 63 at that time when Daniel interpreted that for him. You see that? And with Darius the Mede, he was 83. And when Cyrus was there, he was 87. Okay, who's Cyrus? Why is Cyrus important? Yes?
He created the Persian Empire, conquered the Median Empire, Neo-Babylonian Empire, and Lydia.
Yes, very good. When did that occur? When?
The 400 to 300 BC.
Like 530 something. Yeah, but it was close. Not bad. So, do you see a pattern with Daniel? So he didn't remain a young person. He wasn't the one in captivity as a 15-year-old throughout the book of Daniel. He wasn't the one just setting his heart not to defile himself, but he actually grew and he progressed. So that's why I say the qualifying factor is not just being a young person, but it's actually definitely a very good place to start. The qualification is accumulation. Throughout the years, Daniel accumulated wisdom, knowledge, riches of God, year after year. So as young people, we need to be those accumulating the Lord day after day, year after year. In Daniel chapter 1, I'll give you some more verses. It says, Daniel set his heart not to defile himself. So as young people, and all of us, we should set our heart not to defile ourselves with the things of this age. And the interesting point is, when you read your Bible, you really got to really muse upon it, consider it. By the end of chapter 1, it said this, and Daniel continued until the first year of Cyrus the king. Now, if you don't know who Cyrus the king is, this doesn't mean anything to you. Cyrus became king 70 years after the captivity. So how long did he continue? 70 years, right? It's written there in plain view, right? He continued until the first year of Cyrus the king. This is his person, his attitude, his being. He continued in this way, not to defile himself. You see, he grew year after year. That's why he can see vision after vision. So Daniel isn't just a book about some teenager in chapter 1, but it's about his beginning, his whole life, and his whole ending. His whole life was for God. You see that? He continued until Cyrus the king. And also, do you know when he was made one of the chief under Darius? He was made chief something. I forget exactly what the word is. Not satrap, but not a wise man, but one of his positions, right? And Darius wanted to make him the chief of all of them. And the other ones got jealous. And they couldn't find any fault in him. They couldn't find any fault in him. So they came up with this scheme to say if anyone worships some other god during this 30 days, that he'll be thrown into the lion's den. And what did Daniel do? When he heard this, this is the verse. He said, he knelt down and he prayed 3 times daily. And at the end of the verse, it says, because he had done so previously. He had done so previously. So while he was 83 years old, he was still continuing. So you see the book of Daniel, he was one that just continued to gain God. He continued in this way. Again, he didn't remain just a 15-year-old teenager, but he progressed. So how many here are 15? Yeah. So you're right where Daniel is. So we should set our hearts not to defile ourselves. Actually, all of us. Not if you're 15, you'd be 12, maybe 32. Set our heart. But we need to continue, you see, just like Daniel. And like I said, I'm still in this process, right? When I was 12 or so, 12, 13, that's when I received the Lord. But like I said, I'm not ceding anything to just a young generation. I'm continuing also with you. I think all the serving ones would also agree that they're continuing also with you too. So this conference isn't just for young people. It's for all of us to be those preparing for the Lord's coming. We do have an opponent. Actually, let me say this. Daniel was constant. He was consistent. He was persistent. He was faithful. He had an excellent spirit to the extent that the Lord called him preciousness itself. He called Daniel preciousness itself. So we do also mention this, that we have an opponent. Now, it's not the opponent who you may think, but he is also against us too. This opponent also is faithful, constant, consistent, persistent, and never stops. You know what that is? Time. Think about it. From the time that you got into this room till now, time has been moving. Second after second. It's constant. It's going to keep moving. It's going to continue and continue. So what you do in that time makes a big difference. Like I said, our opponent with time is moving. It's nonstop. It's not going to stop. Time is moving. But what we do in the midst of that time is the qualifying factor. We should be those accumulating God himself. So we have time, but not time to waste. All right, we want to keep up with this opponent who just continually keeps moving. All right, continue day after day. Praise the Lord. We should be those accumulating God himself. Also, in Zechariah 4:10, it says, for who has despised the day of small things? These are the little things that we experience the Lord in little by little. It's nothing, it's not just we attend the summer school of truth, not just we attend the conferences, but it's in the little things like brushing our teeth, riding the bus, going to school, doing your homework, right? This verse was spoken in Zechariah 4:10 when they were rebuilding. It took some time to rebuild the temple. So Zechariah said, who has despised the day of small things? You know, there's no expectation that the temple was going to be built like that instantly. So he was encouraging them, don't despise the day of small things. Just build little by little. Build up the temple, Zechariah is saying. And these experiences come as simple as the Lord just mentioning something to you, touching to you. Just the experience this morning, while we were praying with the serving ones, the Lord said, change your shoes. I was like, Lord, he said, change your shoes. So you know what I did? Changed my shoes. I had my old sneakers on. I was going to come up with my old sneakers. But the Lord just touched me. It's like, change your shoes. These are the little things. Don't despise the day of small things. Don't expect large, great, super spiritual experiences. If you have them, that's great. But these little things, the day of small things, you can have multiple experiences of the Lord all the time, constantly, consistently. Just as time's moving, the Lord's moving within us constantly. So don't ignore those senses within, those feelings within. And when we do, that's a little accumulation. Day after day, the Lord accumulates more and more within our being. Okay, the outline, message one, Christ is coming. So it's still related to Daniel. And when Daniel was 83, now they kind of set the where Daniel was, where he's going. And in chapter 9, he was 83. He says, I, Daniel, understood by means of the scriptures, the number of years which came as the word of Jehovah to Jeremiah, the prophet, for the completion of the desolation of Jerusalem, that is 70 years. So if you know the Bible, the children of Israel forsook God, and Jeremiah prophesied that the children of Israel will be carried away into Babylon for 70 years. For 70 years. So Daniel, this is prior to the 70 years, knew this word from Jeremiah. And he began to pray this word. Lord, you said after 70 years, you're going to release us all back. So he began praying for this. Lord, release your people. Do what you said. Go back, build the temple. Restore your city. He knew this word from Jeremiah that it was going to be 70 years. Like I said, he was 83 at this time. It was almost the 70-year period was over. So he knew, and he started praying for this. This is actually very similar to, we know that the Lord's coming. In the end of in Revelation, it says, the prayer is, come, Lord Jesus. So even with us, we know that the Lord is coming soon. So even our prayer should echo that prayer of, come, Lord Jesus. So when Daniel prayed this, not only did the Lord answer this prayer and eventually release them back, but he gave Daniel a higher, deeper vision. This is concerning the 70 weeks. So in Roman numeral 1, how about all the sisters? Can you read Roman numeral 1? Amen. 70 weeks. The Lord gave him not only the answer to release the people, but he gave him a vision of 70 weeks. Now, in Daniel, these 70 weeks are not weeks that we know them. Actually, each week is 1 year. If I say that right, 7 years, if I say this correctly. So the 7 weeks, let me see if I say that right. I always get confused when I do that. 7 weeks. It's 490 years total. So each week is 7 years, right? Yes, correct. Okay. Make sure I get that right. 490 years. This vision was to show Daniel what would happen to God's people, the consummation, the totality of God's people, from the children of Israel until the end times. Okay? So the Lord spoke that these let's do this. Let's make it simple. Brothers, can you read point A? And sisters, B? We'll get to the next part. 70. I wanted to explain what 70 means. 70 is 7 times 10. Okay. If you're at the Labor Day conference, you heard this, but maybe you need to hear it again if you weren't there. 7 times 10, right? 7. All the numbers in the Bible are significant. You know what 7 indicates? 7 indicates completion. Completion in time. 12 is completion in eternity. So 7 is completion in time. So, man, what day was he created? 6th, right? So you have man, creation, 6. And God is 1. So 6 plus 1 is? Right. So creation, God added to creation is complete. Complete in time. Why is this important? We need God added to us all the time. Just being created man isn't good enough. Just being man, we need God. Also, you have God who's triune. That's what? 3. And then you have man also as the creature. 4. 3 plus 4 is, again, another indication that man needs God added into him. You see? So 7 means completion. We're incomplete without God. We need God himself to make us complete. If you're just 6 and you're just 4, you're not complete. We need God, the triune God, added to our being. And 10. How many fingers do you have? All right, toes. I think you get the point. 10 is fullness. 10 is fullness. So you have this complete fullness, 70. That's why it shows this is the picture of what happens with all God's people. Now, the first two parts that we read, the first 49 years and the next 62 or 434 years, already occurred. It's already done. There's only 1 week left, which is 7 years. So based upon the weeks, it's actually less than 1% left to do. So the first part, we had no part of. Where it said the seven weeks, the 49 years apportioned from issuing the decree to rebuild Jerusalem to the completion of the rebuilding, that's already done. They already built the temple back then. Why did they have to do that? That was for the Lord to come the first time. And let me make this point also clear to you. The Lord's second coming is also mentioned in the Old Testament before he came the first time. Did you ever realize that? The Lord mentioned, not just here in Daniel, but multiple times in the Old Testament, that he was coming the second time before he even came the first time. That really indicates that he wants to come, right? This is his full, complete economy. So the first aspect, the first 49 years, allowed the Lord to come the first time. That there could be a nation of Israel, that there would be a place that all his people would be, and that he could be incarnated as a man at that point. Then the second one, the 62 weeks, that was from the rebuilding of Jerusalem to the cutting off Messiah. The cutting off Messiah was his crucifixion. This actually was a landmark in time. The book of Daniel is really showing landmarks in time. This landmark was, I felt this was quite interesting. This landmark was where the Lord, when he was crucified, what happened there was he terminated the old creation. And he germinated the new creation, which is equivalent to his image in Genesis 1:26. No longer does man have to express himself, express his old creation. But at that point, it was a landmark where man can now express God. And just to kind of give you a little forethought on the last week, even though there's more to go there, that also was a landmark, expressing to represent his dominion. At that point, all human government will be taken away at the end. So that also, Genesis 1:26, is his dominion. So we see that in the book of Daniel, these two aspects of the different weeks are part of God's purpose in Genesis 1:26 with image and dominion, that the old man is no longer expressed, but the new man is expressed, his image. And dominion, man's government is no longer represented, but God's kingdom, God's government is represented. So this vision, like I said, the book of Daniel sets these landmarks in time throughout this time. So the one week, has everyone ever heard about the one week, the Great Tribulation, and all these things that were going to occur? Yeah.
Basically, it's a big punishment for unbelievers.
Not bad. And it's a big warning for us, a very, very big warning for us. Let me say this, Antichrist. So 99% of this vision has already been completed. Correct? You see that? All these years. So there's 1 week left with 7 years. These 7 years end this age. But the Lord has this gap in between. That 7 year period has not started yet. It has not started yet. We think it's soon, but it hasn't started yet. So that'll be the last 7 years of this age. So the first 69 weeks, we had nothing to do with. We had absolutely nothing to do with. 99% of Daniel's vision, we had nothing to do with. But the most important part is this last week, which we have everything to do with. Because at a certain point, God's Old Testament people stopped. We're going to help them and the rest of the believers fulfill the rest of this vision. So it's not left to them, but this vision is left to us to fulfill. So in between this time is called the age of mystery. This is where Christ is building up the church. This is where we fit in. So this age of mystery, God is mysterious, wouldn't you agree? It even says Christ is a mystery. It says the church is a mystery. So to all your friends, you're mysterious people. They don't know why you're here this weekend. Why are you going off to this campground this weekend? You're a mysterious group of people. Actually, I had a coworker ask me what I was doing this weekend. He said, are you doing anything? I forget exactly what he said. And I just said, no, I'm not doing anything, whatever, like that. But I didn't tell him where I was going. Kind of mysterious. And so are we, right? We're all mysterious people. We're in this age of mystery. So God's not working in some outward way. He's working mysteriously, inwardly in us. Like I said, it's kind of mysterious. He told me to change my shoes this morning, don't you think? It wasn't that he had to put it on newscast somewhere or announce it from a cloud. Change your shoes. No, within. This is how God operates this age today. It's mysterious. You don't know why. Just change those shoes. Listen. Obey. The anointing within. Really, this is the age of mystery. It's hidden. It's unseen. So all the growth that we have in the Lord is unseen. No one knows what you're doing on the bus. As you're riding to school, you might have an hour ride on your bus, and you're just praying and just maybe reading a verse. Something mysterious is happening within you. People around you, it's like they're not seeing any big announcements or light shining down or any halo over your head or anything. You're just there simply enjoying the Lord. This is the day of small things. This is how Daniel became who he was, by these little things day after day. That's why I say being a Christian is actually not that hard. We make it hard. We say, oh, I got to go to the meeting. I got to do this. I got to do that. No, it's day by day. These little things. Don't you have to ride the bus anyway? Why not talk to the Lord a little bit on the way there? Remember, time's against you. Times just keep moving. It's just moving, ticking. Second after second, you can either be redeeming the time or wasting the time. So like I said, you're on the bus anyway. You're in school anyway. You're driving to work anyway. Why not? Why not let him work in you, those little things, day by day? This way, this is an age of mystery. And being a Christian is not that difficult. It's just following that within us. You see, a lot of people think Christianity and being a Christian is, oh, I got to be good. I got to do these things. I got to stand. I got to kneel. I got to go to this gathering. I got to do that. No, it's a living. The Christian life is a life of living Christ. It's a life of living Christ. Not a bunch of actions or outward doings. That's why it's an age of mystery. Mysteriously working himself into us. Don't you like this mystery? And sometimes you don't even know what's happening, but you're growing. He's accumulating in you. You're not the same anymore. You're not the Daniel in chapter 1 at age 15. You become the Daniel in chapter 2 at 18. Or chapter 3, or chapter 4, chapter 6. Accumulate year after year. Like I said, I was driving 36 years. I didn't just start yesterday. I've been driving through storm and snow and hill and mountain and everything. So I've been accumulating experience driving. So we all need to just what? Continue as Daniel, right? Continue as he has done so previously. Little by little, day by day. Never despise the day of small things. Never despise the day of small things. Also in this age of mystery, there is a mystery of lawlessness. Mystery of lawlessness. This is also, I believe, very easy to see. Very easy to see in the world today. So along with the Lord working mysteriously, do you see big signs for Satan? Oh, Satan's here, Satan's king, worship me. Do you see any of those out there? No, but it's pretty obvious that that's what he wants, and that's what's happening mysteriously. Where's the verse? I'm going to read the whole verse. Isaiah 5:20. It says, "Woe to those who call evil good, who put darkness for light, and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet, and sweet for bitter." Don't you see that today? People who call evil good. You see someone do something, commit a crime, it's like, that's not evil, that's good. It's like, what are they talking about? Well, let me say this. You see people calling women men and men women. It's like, the Bible doesn't say that. But apparently people are accepting that for some reason. That's the mystery of lawlessness. Like I said, Satan's not out there with his signs, billboards. Say Satan's here, Satan's ruling. Mysteriously, in the same kind of hidden way, all these subtle things. Even to the point it's relatively embarrassing, the Supreme Court justice could not define what a woman was. I asked her, what's a woman? She's like, I'm not qualified to answer that. I'm like, I think if I asked any of you who what a woman was, you would know. Or if you know what a man was, you would know. You're probably more qualified than she was. But that's this verse here. Woe to those who call evil good and call good evil, right? They just mix everything up. It's just all mixed up. This is this age that we're in, this mystery of lawlessness. So these are two mysteries operating at the same time. So which mystery do you want to be part of? Not the one of lawlessness, right? We want to be the age of mystery, which is the age of the church. The age of the church, okay? Okay, may I just give you a quick example of the Antichrist. What's going to happen? So at least you'll know. At least you'll know. So at a certain point, this age of mystery is going to end. That means that we, like Daniel, had accumulated enough Christ that the Lord says, good enough, you guys are ready, here I come. Right? Ready or not, here I come. He's coming. At that point, there's going to be the beginning of this last week, which will end this age. Antichrist is going to make a covenant with the Jewish people, They're going to be able to build the temple again. So within 3.5 years, the temple is going to be built. You actually see the temple built in Jerusalem. Those first 3.5 years, I believe, are going to be the hardest time to preach the gospel. Why? Because everyone's going to think everything's okay. Right? Everything's peaceful. Everything's great. The economy's doing well. No wars. Everything's at peace. There's a covenant. Until 3.5 years, halfway into it, he's going to break this covenant. He's going to destroy the temple. And that's when the great tribulation begins. The book of Revelation says, if the Lord did not restrain this great tribulation, no man would be able to survive. No man. That's the last 7 years of this age. Like I said, it hasn't started yet, but at a certain point it will. There are certain signs. I mentioned this before. Some of them, if you see them, they're way too late. Then you say, well, why did the Lord give us this sign? It's actually to encourage us. So one of the signs actually already occurred. If you look at Roman numeral 2, let's read the Roman numeral 2 all together. Amen. The one that's already done is point B. The nation of Israel will be restored. That happened in 1948. And that verse there says the summer, when this happens, know that the summer is near. Right? So 1948 already happened. So know that it's near. So we are heading towards this end times. Yes.
More fallen angels will come up and kill like a third of the world's population.
Yes.
Freeze River right now is drying up a little bit.
Correlation. Maybe we'll get into more of that another point. But some of these other ones, Antichrist will come. In Matthew 24, it says, let him who reads understand. This is actually referring back to Daniel. When you see the image set up in the temple, this desolation set up, this is the Antichrist. He wants all the worship to go to him. All the worship to go to him. No longer worship God, everything to him. That's why he broke this covenant. It says, let him who reads understands. Also says, the temple will be rebuilt. The great tribulation will transpire. And then point E, the saints will be raptured. It says in those verses, one is taken, one is left. As I mentioned earlier, if you're here on the earth and one of your friends is gone, that means you're still here. That means it's too late. That sign's too late for you. That's why we need to prepare now when we're ready. It mentions three times different instances. One where they're working in the field, just doing normal things, like I said. It didn't say they were attending the conference. It didn't say they were at Summer School of Truth. It didn't even say they were at a church meeting. He was working in the field, just working. So when we're at school, we're just enjoying the day of small things. When we're listening, maybe at that point, boom. So it mentioned that in the field. Also mentioned two women grinding at the mill. They're working. And then third one, two on one bed sleeping. And Luke, so you even got to be ready when we're sleeping. Because when he comes, it's not going to be daylight all around the earth. You need to be ready. So like I said, if you see this sign, you wake up, the person next to you is not there, that means that one's already gone. That means you weren't quite ready. Doesn't mean that you won't be going soon, but we don't want to go into the great tribulation. The Lord, we want to be raptured before the great tribulation. Before the great tribulation. Doesn't mean that it won't be raptured during the great tribulation, because that occurs also. There's also the possibility that you can go all the way through the great tribulation, make it, and still not be raptured. Why would you want to go that far? Let's get raptured early. Let's not wait. I don't think you want to experience anything of the Great Tribulation. I mean, just look at the last hurricane in Florida. Would you want to be living there now? And that's just a little bit compared to the Great Tribulation. The Great Tribulation is going to be terrible, terrible. So we need to be those like Daniel, being prepared day by day, getting ready. Yes.
There was going. They said there's going to be famine, death.
Yes, it's terrible, right? You won't have anything. People will be stealing food, doing stuff. Just awful. It's just going to be chaos, total chaos in those last 3.5 years. Like I said, we want to be raptured before. We don't want to wait. We don't want to be raptured during, but if we're raptured during, that's better than not being raptured at the end. Okay? But first is before the Great Tribulation. Beforehand. Okay? One last sign, which it's not on your outline, is from Matthew 24:28. A brother went to Israel and brought this back and gave it to me. He said, that reminds me of you and your wife, he said to me. I have this hanging in my kitchen. You know what this is? Wherever the corpse is, the vultures will be gathered. The vultures signify Christ and his overcomers. But again, that's a sign where it's too late. So I took that. It's like, yes, I want to be an overcomer, even if I'm vulture overcomer. Actually, it says it likens us to eagles. The footnote likens us to eagles. We're also a predatory bird like the vultures. So he likened them to overcomers, Christ and his overcomers, right? Because all the flesh, right, there to eat. We want to be the overcomers. Okay, so how do we become these ones? How do we prepare? Roman numeral 3. Can everyone read Roman numeral 3 together? Okay, so there's three points here I want you to get. We need to do well, we need to beseech, and we need to partake. Those are the three key words. Do well, beseech, partake. The first one is do well, and we have the prophetic word made more firm, to which you do well, to give heed as to a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your heart. The prophetic word is what Daniel's spoken, what's been spoken throughout the rest of the scripture. It's prophetic, prophesied. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. You can't say it's not going to happen. You can't say you weren't warned. You can't say you're without excuse. It's there. So we need to do what? Do well, to give heed to this word. To what extent? A lamp shining in a dark place. The reason I like this verse so much, I say this again, and I'm going to repeat this every time I have a chance to speak on this verse. The lamp in a dark place. If you don't see a lamp in a dark place, that means you're occupied, befuddled, distracted to such an extent that you can't see something obvious. It's a lamp in a dark place. Think of your room last night. If someone turned on a lamp in your room and you missed it and you said, I didn't see any light, that means you were so distracted, so befuddled, that you couldn't even see a light in front of your face. It's so obvious. And sometimes we're like that. We're so befuddled, so distracted, that we don't see the obvious thing in front of our face. This is a lamp shining in a dark place. How can you miss a lamp shining in a dark place? I encourage you all tonight in your room, turn on the light when it's dark and see if you can miss it. That's how obvious this word is, the prophetic word. You can't miss this. You shouldn't miss this. If you miss it, that is a good indicator you're distracted. Okay? Shining in a dark place. So we need to give heed to this word all the time until the morning star rises in our hearts. The morning star isn't for all the nations. When he comes back, he'll be the shining sun, bright shining. But if you were out this morning, early this morning, I think some of the serving ones, when you're walking here, it was dark. There's some light. That light is meant for you. It's the early morning light shining in our beings. It's not meant for the whole world. The Lord will come in his fullness and brightness. But not to us. He comes as the morning star. In the morning, shining in our hearts, every morning, rising up in our hearts. Okay. So we need to what? Take heed. It's this prophetic word. Do well. Also, point B, it says we need to be watchful, praying that we may escape the great tribulation. It says that we need to beseech the Lord. We need to learn to beseech the Lord. Lord, may I escape this great tribulation. Make that your daily prayer. Lord, not only give me my daily bread, but Lord, may I escape the great tribulation. He says beseech, beseech. The first one with the prophetic word, you can see Daniel's characteristics there. He had the prophetic word of Jeremiah that 70 years was going to end, right? And he did something about it. He prayed about it. Here, you see Daniel also was one who besought the Lord. He prayed. We need to pray to the Lord all the time. May we escape. May we escape. And then the last point, partake. In 2 Peter 1:9, it says that through which he has granted to us precious and exceedingly great promises, that through these you might become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption which is in the world by lust. So the other way to escape is to partake of the divine nature, is to partake of God. So we, like Daniel, could be those accumulating all these years. Like I said, being young isn't the qualifying factor. The accumulation of God day after day, year after year, partaking of the Lord makes us ready, prepares us for the Lord's coming. May we be those who are ready. Praise the Lord.